Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You got to get things out of your life that need to get out of your life. You need to lead the way spiritually. We do this through prayer, through learning the Word of God, through worship, and through fasting, so that we're ready when the enemy attacks in the evil day. And there will indeed be an evil day.
We do what we can to make sure we are physically fit, but we need to have that same mentality in the spiritual realm. Are we equipped to battle our enemy with the truth and power of Scripture and the wisdom that comes from seeking to live a pure, holy life in the power of the Spirit? We want to be ready at all times to not just battle, but to be victorious over Satan. Here's part two of our study out of Ephesians 6, 12, and 13 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The battle for our country and all countries is demonic. We just happen to live in a place where we are invited in to the political process. And the enemy, I'm talking about people now, have said, well, you Christians, you shouldn't be involved in politics because you're Christians. Where'd you ever get that from? Where'd that ever come from, that if we live in a nation that allows us to vote to structure the nation, that we should be quiet and not vote? By the way, we ought to understand the biblical principles and hold their feet to the fire. When there are primaries and there are people that don't believe certain things, we ought to have people in the evangelical party who will speak for us and say, we're not voting for you. You don't believe in this? Then we'll vote for someone else. You want our vote, then you need to represent us. That's the way America works. And we're able to be involved in that. There's no reason for us to be quiet about those kind of things. So we got to know our enemy, and we have these different powers that are involved there. So the nature of our battle is spiritual. It's in the spiritual realm. We can't see it. Jesus knew this. When Jesus was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The soldiers weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. The religious leaders weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. Pilate and the Romans weren't the ones behind the crucifixion. It was the demonic forces who nailed him to the cross, who I believe never would have done had they realized that he was going to be defeated by the cross, that God was going to use suffering. The next time someone says, if God's good, why is there suffering in the world? You can say, because God's got a plan for suffering. And Jesus came and suffered immensely that anyone who calls on his name could be saved. And so it's a spiritual battle. Now, Paul reinforces this mindset of the spiritual battle in 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. If God, perhaps, this is what he says, if God will perhaps grant them repentance. Now, here's the first part that I didn't put in here. The Bible says the servant of the Lord, you guys are all servants of the Lord who know him and walk with him. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those who are in opposition. And then it says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. When someone is believing a lie, it is the devil that has snared him, because Satan is a liar. He has been one from the beginning, the Bible says, and he is the father of all lies. And so demonic warfare on our part is knowing the truth. And I'm way ahead of myself when we get to the belt of truth. We'll talk more about that. But he understood it's a spiritual battle. People are taken captive by a snare of the enemy. When you're talking to a Jehovah Witness at your door, or you're talking to a Mormon, or you're talking to someone else who doesn't believe what is true, this is a spiritual battle, and you're dealing with demonic forces that are behind the scenes. Corey Ten Boom realized this. The Nazis, and I'm talking about the real Nazis, not people call them Nazis. But the Nazis did such incredible wickedness. And it wasn't just to the Jews, by the way, it was to many other people. Corrie Ten Boom was a survivor of the concentration camp Ravensbrück. Her sister died there, and she was greatly mistreated there. So I found this, a survivor of the Nazi concentration camp encountered one of the former guards after the war. And he became a Christian and asked Corrie Ten Boom for forgiveness. Now you have a guard from a concentration camp who mistreated you and your sister, and he says, "Will you forgive me?" She initially struggled, but God gave her the strength to forgive, realizing that Satan, not this man, was the real enemy behind the atrocities. So we have to realize it's the enemy that stands behind all of these things. Now, our fight is personal. We wrestle. And because we wrestle, we need to be prepared. Listen, if you are, let's just say you're a wrestler. You know how to wrestle. But you haven't done it for 10 years. Now you're going to go wrestle somebody who was on your level when you were a wrestler. How long are you going to last in that wrestling match? Not very long. Because you got to be prepared. So it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we got to be vigilant because he's looking for an opportunity. It was said that he left Jesus to come back for a better opportunity. And he's such a creep, he attacks people who are weak when we're weak. He's not looking for you in your strength. He doesn't want to mess with you there. It's like lions. Lions are not the biggest cats. They're close. Tigers are larger than lions. Some, can't remember if it's jaguars or leopards, one of them gets close to their size, but they are single. They don't ever fight in groups. But the pride of the lions fight together. And they still look for the weakest. When they're going after water buffalo or zebras, they're trying to cut the weakest from the crowd because so they can have success. Even though they're one of the strongest cats and they're fighting together. Those of you that have a pride of cats in your house, imagine if they got together and came after you. Especially if they still have their claws, if you haven't declawed them. Can you imagine what it would be like? You'd be like, I'd lose. Those cats would just tear me up. And it's true, and the enemy hasn't been declawed, but he's looking for the weakness. Now, the battle is supernatural. It's not in the flesh. So us guys have to learn that, because us guys are ready to battle. We're kind of built that way. We'll take care of things if we have to. We'll step in front to protect our wives. We'll do what we have to do. We'll do that in a lot of different ways. But this isn't physical, so it's spiritual. So guys, you need to get that same mentality in the spiritual realm. You got to know the word of God. You got to get things out of your life that need to get out of your life. You need to lead the way spiritually. We do this through prayer, through learning the word of God, through worship, and through fasting, so that we're ready when the enemy attacks in the evil day. And there will indeed be an evil day. D.L. Moody said, "You may as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs than to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit." And I could add to that, making your life right before God. It doesn't mean that we don't fail. It means we go quickly to God. God, forgive me, really quickly. We keep short accounts with God. So it's right. Then when the enemy attacks, I'm ready. And I may have already shared with you the way that I do spiritual warfare. And if I haven't, and even if I did, I'm going to say it again, so you'll have to put up with it. When I do spiritual warfare, I don't ever tell the devil that or the enemy to stop doing something, because I realize I'm weaker than any demonic force that's out there. And so me saying, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, devil," doesn't mean much. He's like, "You rebuke me?" But when you call out upon the name of Jesus, Jesus said, "The stronger than the strong man defeats the strong man." So Satan's a strong man, but Jesus is the stronger than the strong man that defeats the strong man. When I was in junior high, actually it was sixth grade. When I was in sixth grade, I was still in elementary school because sixth grade was elementary school back in my day. Sixth grade was elementary school. And three guys surrounded me to kick my butt after school. This was a normal occurrence in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the area in which I lived, in the time in which I lived. So I literally did the, they're around me, I literally did that, "What's that?" and then ran the other way. I gave myself a couple seconds and I ran. Now, I had a friend by the name of Benny Hilliard. He lived down the street. He was a couple years older than me. He was in junior high, but he came over after school and did crosswalking duties at our school. So I ran and stood next to Benny. And I didn't even say anything to Benny. I didn't tell him anybody was after me or anything. And that brings me back to my school years. They're after me, you know. Got to watch out for Steve Gammon. He's after me, you know. But I stood next to him because he was like huge. And I learned after a while to make friends with the big guys. Because the stronger than the strong man defeats the strong man. And so we call on Jesus. So if something's happening to your kid, then don't stop saying, in the name of the Father, Jesus, bind the strong man and help my daughter. And don't give up after 20 days. Because the answer may come on the 21st day or maybe even the 21st month. Hopefully not the 21st year. But don't ever stop. Call out to God for your kids. May this message be a call to you to get in the battle, to get in the game, to realize there are demonic forces that are fighting around us. Not only are there principalities and powers and wickedness in dark places, and darkness is where they fight, but there's a heavenly host of wickedness, and I believe that they fight individuals. They come after each one of us. Jesus faced them. They knew who he was, by the way. When Jesus landed on the shore of the Gadareans, the man who had a legion of angels in him, he lived in a graveyard naked and tore off the chains. And when they landed, the man ran towards them. I wonder what the disciples thought. Here comes a naked man running full speed at them in the boat. They're like, Jesus says a naked man running full speed at us. Let's get out of here. Tell you what, I had a boat for a while. If I pulled up a boat and a naked man started running towards me, I'd be like pushing the boat off the water. I'd be done. But you know what happened when this demon-possessed man got there? Fell down in the ground and said, what do you have to do with me, O Son of Man or Son of God? He knew who he was. Satan knows who he is. And the Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. So when I say in the name of Jesus, leave my son alone. Jesus, bind him. And the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And this is real spiritual warfare. And men, we need to lead the way in this spiritual warfare. Ladies, you too. Remember, this isn't physical, so it's not about physical strength. But women are more likely to be involved in spiritual warfare than men. Shouldn't be the case. And so we fight against principalities, against power, spiritual darkness, the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. And let me go to my next point here. And that is that the battlefield of our enemy, this is where the enemy fights from. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Now, we heard that in verse 11. Now in verse 13, we get the rankings of the demons and we learn that they're organized and strategic. And now we come to the next verse, verse 13, it says again, put on the whole armor of God. So how important is it for you to put on the whole armor of God? Let's just imagine that we went to go see a movie. It had like, I don't know, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes and whatever else it was on there. So you go, this is a good movie, I want to watch it. And it starts in the beginning at a funeral. It's obviously a military funeral because they're playing taps and planes are flying over and they're folding a flag over the coffin. And then the movie goes back and you find this young man and his young wife, and it's just a good movie. Written well, good character development. You like the people that are involved. They go through a few issues, but you know he's gonna die. And you saw in the first scene a younger woman standing by that casket. So you know something happened. So you watch this movie unfold and you see him get drafted into the army and you start to put pieces together. And then in one particular account, they're suddenly called to the line and you see this man grab his flak jacket, grab his rifle and go out the door. And the camera pans from the door to the helmet he left behind. and then it fades to black. That's the end of the movie. You don't need any more than that, do you? You know exactly what happened to him. Now, I hate when movies fade to black, by the way. I want to see the end. Don't fade to black, even if you give me an idea of what's going to happen. But we would know what happened, wouldn't we? We'd go, he left his helmet behind. Had he had his helmet on, he wouldn't have died. That's what the whole movie was leading up to. And if you don't have on the full armor of God, you're going to be attacked by the enemy. The enemy's having his way with you. He's defeating you. He's defeating your family, who you are in authority over. We have authority when we have authority over our family. And we need to be seeking God along these ways. So take up the whole armor of God. I'm not going to go all the way through it right now. I did it last week, and we're going to go over each one of them, but you can do it on your own to make sure. And their character, it's about character. The breastplate of righteousness is about you being right with God. And the enemy can't get to you because of the rightness of God that you have. But if you are not right with him and you've got some unconfessed, unrepentant sin, or you've got some sin you're going to plan to do, that's not the breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation, knowing that you're saved. These are character issues. So now we need to stand in the evil day, the text says. So there's a day that's evil. There's a day that Satan is waiting for. For Jesus, it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said, "Be gone from me." And the Bible says Satan left him for a more opportune time. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know Jesus was struggling with going to the cross because he didn't have to. When Peter pulled a sword, he said, "Put away your sword. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels to help me?" One angel in the Old Testament killed over 180,000 people. He said, "I could call 12 legions to help me. I don't have to do this." He was struggling with going to the cross. Because it's one thing, and I've said this before, but it's one thing to be forced to be crucified. It's another thing when you could stop it, and you don't. And you lay down your hands, and they drive the nails through your flesh and into that tree, and he dies for them. But he knew it was spiritual. He knew that was the way he was going to crush the head of the serpent. And so you and I have an evil day, a day when the enemy looks to take opportunity with us. We've got to always be ready for that evil day so that we can have victory in the midst of that evil day. Finally, the passage says, having done all, once you got all the armor on, stand. We talked about that in our study last week, because it said the same thing. Stand, ready, you got all the armor on, now stand and be ready for that particular attack. I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. He said, "Victory is never for the faint-hearted. The Christian life is not for lazy or apathetic or distracted people. It's for those who refuse to quit." A.W. Tozer. Now, final thought. The enemy is relentless. But so is God. Maybe even more so. The battle is intense. But so is your calling and your empowering. The attacks will come. But so will the victory. If you're ready to be able to stand there. Are you standing firm in Christ? Do you need to make changes now? Are you in the battle as if it's casual? Not ready to all of a sudden take place? Every great war has its defining moments. The moment where the tide turns. The moment where the victors rise. Not because the battle was easy, but because they refuse to surrender all the way through until the end. Paul has shown us the reality of our battle. It is not against people, but it is against invisible enemies. The enemy is strategic. We need to understand that. He is relentless, and so we need to stand firm until the end. He is organized, but he is also already defeated. The call is clear, so stand ready for battle. When the battle rages, stand ready for battle. When the enemy attacks, stand ready for battle. When you feel weak, stand ready for battle, because it's not your strength in all of these things. Now, Satan is not afraid of the Christian who retreats. He is afraid of those who stand firm in the faith. He trembles at believers who know their authority and refuse to back down, and who declare boldly, "Victory is already with me in Christ." Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." I'm going to end with a song. I'm not going to be able to do an altar call today, so I'll bless you guys immediately and we'll go. But I'm going to end with a song, and you're going to be very familiar with it. "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching on to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching off to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. Oh, then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver and shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud. Let your anthem rise." What a great song. By the way, it was great hearing a hymn today, wasn't it? I'm not saying to the groups that they always got to play hymns, all right? Because as we get older, we like hymns. Where are the hymns? And we want younger people getting saved and coming to Christ, but it's good to hear them from time to time. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. We'll end with that one. Where are the hymns? Where are they at? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to understand the spiritual battle. And I pray that we would not come to this place where we just don't understand it or we don't think it's important. Lord, we've been given victory and there's a lot going on because we're not in the battle. So let us as a church be in the battle here. And we thank you. Fill us with your Spirit. Let us know your word. Let the Spirit bring the word of God to our memory in the midst of these battles. And we pray for those in our family and our friends who are struggling in an area. And we think of that area now and we ask you, Father, to let Jesus bind the strong man so that they can no longer have their way with him. And as we get an opportunity to talk to people who are under the spell of the rulers of darkness, that we would be gentle, able to teach, and patient, that they might be able to be released from the snare of the enemy, even as your word says. We're so thankful for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, I put you in his hands. And I plead with you to get into the battle.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.